Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. I trust you're enjoying your Thanksgiving Day holiday. We certainly are. Merry Christmas is coming right around the corner, so get ready for the Merry Christmas Wars. What do Thanksgiving Day and immigration policy have in common? Get ready, folks. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, good old Newt Gingrich is certainly making a comeback, and he has announced his immigration policy with... let's be humane. Now, what does Newt mean by this? You know, he's very articulate. He left very little room for any doubt about his position. A position, by the way, that he has held for quite a while. This is not something new, so far as I can tell, anyway. And essentially, it goes along these lines. Hey, these people are here, and they have established their families here. Many of them for over a quarter of a century. The GOP party is the party of the family. And, according to Newt, it is inconceivable that those who call themselves the party of the family would support a policy that effectively would destroy so many thousands of families. He actually put it this way, quote, I don't see how the party that says it's the party of the family is going to adopt an immigration policy which destroys families that have been here a quarter of a century, end quote. And then speaking to the hypothetical illegal alien, he said, quote, if you've been here 25 years and you've got three kids and two grandkids, you've been paying taxes and obeying the law, you belong to a local church, I don't think we're going to separate you from your family, uproot you forcefully, and kick you out, end quote. Now, Bachman immediately labeled this policy nothing more than amnesty. And Romney, I think somewhat hypocritically, chimed in with, you know, quote, amnesty is a magnet. People respond to incentives. And if you can become a permanent resident of the United States by coming here illegally, you'll do so, end quote. Which I happen to agree with that, but coming from Romney. Now, Gingrich's plan is similar in some ways to the one Bush put forward, except Bush provided for requiring the illegals to return to their land of origin and re-enter legally, and or pay a fine for violating what is legally a misdemeanor offense, or something along those lines. And as you probably know, a misdemeanor is not a felony, and they are often punishable by a fine. What Bush was doing is approaching the illegal immigration problem from the point of view that it is a misdemeanor offense that has gotten way out of control. Now, this truly is a knotty problem, and it's going to take a deep massage to work the knots out of your head on this one. So bear with me, because as I bear down on this knot, it's going to be alternately painful and pleasurable. But in the end, a glorious burst of brilliant brain massage light of truth will break through the clouds of confusion that have gathered around this subject. All right, let's begin with some simple facts. The undeniable facts of our problem. It is a simple fact that crossing our borders without passing through our border controls is illegal. Furthermore, it is illegal to continue residing in this country beyond the terms of a visa. And also, it is illegal to remain in the country beyond the time allotted for illegal entry via a border crossing card, what you might call a temporary work pass, which usually time out in a day or a few days. Now, we understand that today, according to the GAO, that's the Government Accounting Office, we have 12 million, I think the exact number is 11.2, 11.7, something in that area, million residents in America who are here illegally. Either they have crossed the border illegally, or they have overstayed their visas, or they have violated their terms for entry by border crossing card. Now, many believe the real numbers are much higher. I've heard numbers thrown about in the area of 40 million. One number that comes up often is 20 million. Frankly, it's difficult to get an exact count for, well, obvious reasons. I mean, they're not lining up to be counted. Even the GAO numbers are estimates. Let's take the 12 million number as a minimum, and that's a lot of families. So let's look at undeniable fact number one. At least 12 million people are maintaining a residence in this country illegally. And Americans are justified to be concerned about this and to demand something be done to stop the violation of our borders and to address the nuisance caused by the illegals who are already here. I mean, for example, a significant number of the illegal population are responsible for some sort of heinous crimes of violence. I mean, they are. They put a disproportionate burden on our taxpayer-provided medical and education services, disproportionately abuse our welfare system, and in many other ways, they are a nuisance. The numbers that vote illegally are also disturbing, and the inclination of so many who are all, you know, Viva la Mexico and anti-American in their attitude and sympathy and sentiment, it's likewise disturbing. And, you know, Americans don't like being made to feel they are living in a foreign country. They resist Balkanization. And I really don't have time to explain that further than to say that refers to the dividing or fragmenting of a country into competing regions or subcultures. Now, another fact is that the underbelly of illegal immigration is quite ugly. La Raza and other radical groups who believe California, Texas, Arizona are stolen from Mexico aggressively recruit ignorant young Hispanics into subversive anti-American activities. And then the breach of national security concerns with such porous borders. All of these are undeniable. Undeniable fact number one is this. Whether Hispanic, Italian, Anglo, I don't care, all Americans have legitimate reasons to be concerned about the problem of illegal immigration. And you know what? Until you libs acknowledge that, we are simply not going to be able to have a conversation that will lead to any kind of real solution. Now, let's discuss undeniable fact number two. It is a fact that while all illegal aliens are violators of our immigration laws, not all are lawless, anti-American, violent criminals. In fact, I think it's fair to say most are just what Newt and before him Bush and others have recognized them to be, people who came here to get ahead, to provide for their families, people who work hard, pay their taxes, go to church, participate in the commerce of our communities, and really are great neighbors. And we need to admit that. That's true. Do you agree, folks, that before we can have an honest conversation about a problem, both sides have got to be honest about the facts? Yes, they broke the law. And yes, the laws must be enforced, which is something else I'm going to address in a moment. And the law they broke is a misdemeanor offense. And I don't think we should make a federal case out of a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors are usually punishable by fine. However, it is obvious in the case of border violations that these people are going to have to be returned to their land of origin. Something, by the way, that should be paid for by the violators through their fines. And furthermore, if a neighboring country refuses to police their own borders, or if it is found to be encouraging illegal crossing of our borders, we should require that government to pay for the return of their own citizens. But that's another matter. The bottom line is that anyone who is here illegally can't be made simply to pay a fine and then stay here illegally. They're going to have to be returned to their land of origin and pay a fine, at least sufficient to cover the cost of sending them home and processing them and all of that. Now, undeniable fact number two is, however, that most of those who are here illegally are not a peculiar nuisance or a drain on our economy. Now, okay, let's summarize and synthesize these first two undeniable facts before I offer undeniable fact number three. Undeniable facts numbers one and two may be summarized as follows. 12 million plus persons are here illegally, and even though it's only a misdemeanor offense, and even though most who are here are not a peculiar nuisance to our society, the fact is, the open door through which these were able to enter unfairly and stay here illegally, unfairly to those who are waiting for legal entry, by the way, that door that's used by these folks to come here is the same door used by those who are a nuisance, and that door must be closed because a significant number of these illegals are creating an unacceptable drain on our taxpayer-funded resources, and in many other significant ways, creating an unacceptable nuisance and, frankly, an unbearable burden to our country. We simply can't afford it. Now, we must address undeniable fact number three. And this is one that is difficult to deal with. It's a kind of a combo fact. I mean that it's made up of multiple parts. And this is the fact that Newt is struggling with in his approach to the immigration problem. And frankly, it's the fact that's hanging us up and keeping us from addressing the problem. Now, listen carefully here. We have a law, but we also have what you might call a de facto law that has been superimposed over that law and made that law virtually meaningless. The de facto law has been that people who succeed at getting here illegally are permitted to stay indefinitely and participate in our society as citizens in almost every way. And they have even been facilitated to do this by our government. And this has been going on for a very long time. And my point is this. The United States government has created this problem by refusing to enforce its laws, by providing the incentives for its abuse. I said it's a combo problem, and here's the other part of this. There's a human side to this whole thing that we're just going to have to deal with. In your mind now, is it fair to the children and to the children, of these illegals, to A, break the family up by taking their parents away and shipping them off to Mexico, or B, ship the entire family off to Mexico because their parents took advantage of the incentive, you know, that Romney talked about. And he's right, by the way. People respond to incentives, and our government has provided the incentive for this and even facilitated doing it and getting away with it. Or in other words, the government created this 12 million man problem, 12 million person problem by de facto law. In common law, if the code on the books is purposely ignored and not enforced by policy, well, that policy becomes de facto law of the land just by default. You see, try to understand it this way. Let us say for the moment, for the argument, that the speed limit is 65 miles per hour, but there is an enforcement policy that says it is not enforced until the driver has exceeded the limit by, let's just say 5 miles per hour. Is it fair? Let's just use that commonly accepted word. Is it fair to suddenly change the enforcement policy after the fact and then, you know, send you a ticket in the mail for exceeding the speed limit 3 years ago? Let's just say if there was some way to keep track of it. Come on, work with me here. You get a ticket in the mail for exceeding the speed limit 3 years ago when at that time you were within the tolerance of the law. But then people got mad, put pressure on the police force to enforce the law at a lower level of tolerance. And then you get a ticket sent to you in the mail. Do you see what I mean? You would feel violated. Come on. Let's be honest about this problem. Yes, you did exceed the speed limit. However, at the time you did it, you were within the tolerance set by policy. Is it legal then to send you a ticket for violating the speed limit? Well, they can prove you did it and so on. And yeah, it would be. I would say that it is. Is it just? Or the word we like to use, is it fair? Is it even-handed? Is it equitable? You would feel like it was unjust. Now, we have a problem that has been created by our policymakers. They are the ones who should take the lion's share of responsibility for this. I mean, for it becoming a 12 million person problem. You know, when I served as a principal of a private school in Norwalk, I sometimes struggled with certain teachers who just didn't get it on the idea of supervising their classroom. That part of their job, they were just not very good at. They were inconsistent. For example, I remember one teacher was very tolerant of talking out of turn in her class. She allowed this behavior with little, if any, notice. Then all of a sudden, I get five kids lining up in my office waiting to see the principal with parent notices. All of them check for disrupting the class, talking out of turn. Now, I knew this teacher was one who allowed talking out of turn regularly, and I actually warned her a couple of times after a review that her failure to enforce that school policy in that matter effectively countermanded the law, as it were, the rule of the school, and created a de facto classroom rule that superseded the school rule. And I gave her many warnings on this matter. She finally became impatient with the interruptions and disruption of her class caused by her failure to supervise this behavior. And then suddenly she drops the hammer. And folks, listen, I refused to sign the parent notices. I sent every one of these kids back to their class, refusing to accept the discipline of that teacher. The teacher was very unhappy with me and later got a meeting and scolded me for failing to support her when she was attempting to enforce school rules. I explained to her that she countermanded school rules by her policy of enforcement and had actually created a rule of her own, and that these kids were behaving in conformity to her rules. I told her that she's the one that's in trouble here, not those kids. I said that what I intended to do was to put a note in her file for disobedience to school rules instead of sending parent notices home that would get the kids in trouble. Instead of the kids being in trouble, she was in trouble. Now look, I realize these things aren't exactly parallel, but I do hope you get the point. I have a very intelligent audience, and I'm sure you do. The government, represented by the policymakers we put in office, created a policy that countermanded our laws. And that policy has become the de facto law of the land. While, of course, any illegals who commit crimes ought to be booted forthwith, those among the 12 million who are good neighbors, I'm sorry, listen, they don't deserve to have our anger against those miscreants fall upon them. This is the catch-22, the pickle, the quagmire, the paradox, the Gordian knot of the problem. Yet imagine the spectacle of Elian Gonzalez gone viral on YouTube a million times over as SWAT teams all over the country in full armor break down doors and homes of illegals, dragging moms and dads into, what do they call now? They used to be called paddy wagons, and their children screaming, terror-struck in fear, you think? Yeah? You say, well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I want to happen. Well, let me ask you a question. How exactly do you propose we go about rounding up these illegals and kicking them across the border back to their land of origin? Or in other words, at some point, we have to come to the question, exactly how do we address this now? We've got to start with the problem as it is. Not as it should be, but as it is. It's one thing to say, hey, you know, they broke the law. Book them and get them out of here. Okay. All right. Go ahead. But when you see the picture of Elias Gonzalez being taken by a SWAT team and forcibly returned to Cuba over and over and over, a million times over, you're going to feel sick to your stomach. It's just not who we are. It's not who you are either, guys. I know you. And folks like Newt are trying to find a way to correct this problem that has been created by other politicians for about 50 years now, really. Now, what are we going to do? Of course, we close the border, build the fence, do whatever has to be done, commit the resources necessary to effectively get our borders under control. In other words, the first priority is to stop the bleeding, so to speak. Now, the second, let's admit that we blew it. Let's admit that we countermanded our own laws with bad enforcement policy. And let's not attempt to punish those who are here now for what we allowed them to do. And by we, I mean as a nation. A declaration that we are going to begin enforcing these laws from here on is appropriate. And frankly, you know, while Bush's plan was not perfect, I thought it was workable. And you might remember back when he was presenting his plan. I studied it. Most of you didn't. You just knee-jerk reacted to it. I think if you had studied it, you would have seen what I saw. It wasn't perfect, but it was probably the best answer we could give to this problem, and we should have done it. Now, most of my listeners who get mad at me when I say this have never actually studied his plan. And it was built on these three undeniable facts, all right? And it would have been a good beginning place to address this problem. I woulda, shoulda, coulda. Let's get on with what we're going to do right now. And I'm not sure I fully support Newt's plan, but you come up with a better one that admits the facts, the three undeniable facts of this problem. I'd certainly like to see it. You know, I went a little long in this first segment. I'm going to have to go ahead and go to my break right now. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, I intended to discuss the immigration problem in the light of our Thanksgiving celebration, But it took me longer than I expected to lay out the undeniable facts of our immigration problem. But let's go ahead and address the relationship to Thanksgiving here. You know, the Pilgrims were immigrants. I mean, well, sort of. They did come to live here permanently in a foreign country without an invitation. All right? All of our European ancestry immigrated to this land. None of us is indigenous to it, except those of us born here subsequent to forming this nation. Listen, is it not hypocritical then for us to resent others who want to come here for a new lease on life, for a better way of life? Those who are closest to the heart of the immigration issue understand that at the heart of our problem is the fact that America is populated almost entirely by immigrants, and I mean from its inception. Immigration to the New World has roots that go back to the 14th century, really, 15th century, but especially got running in the 16th century with the Pilgrims. Now, their first Thanksgiving Day feast was a celebration by foreigners who lately came to this country rejoicing at their first successful harvest here in the New World. Besides, we have Lady Liberty standing at the harbor in New York, beckoning to the world, "Send us your poor." You know that poem by Emma Lazarus. She wrote a beautiful poem that really captured the heart of most Americans way back then when it was written. And it was graven on a tablet within the pedestal on which the Grand Statue of Liberty is erected. And it reads, let me just read a portion of it to you. "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I left my lamp beside the golden door," end quote. Now that has stirred the hearts of Americans for many, many, many decades. Millions have crossed that harbor, teary-eyed at the sight of Lady Liberty holding forth the welcoming beacon of hope to a desperate and oppressed world. It's who we are. And you've got to understand this, or you will never understand why we are having such a problem with this whole immigration issue. Now look, I am fully aware that unscrupulous, unreasonable, and wicked men are advocating our foolish, and I mean foolish, policy on the enforcement of our immigration laws for evil ends. And those evil ends include diluting our culture, subverting our constitutional form of government, exploiting the issue for power. I get that. I know. But do you get something too? Do you get that the reason they're able to succeed so well at using this issue to further their evil ends is because it touches the core of our heart as a nation? We are all an immigrant people in our roots, at least, or a people very close to immigrants. And besides all that, we just have a vision of ourselves as being here for the little guy, the people who want a place to breathe free. All right? And you say, what has that got to do with illegal immigration? Well, okay, it has two things. First, we have a Judeo-Christian heritage in this country. And when Israel was given the land of Canaan, and I believe we were given this land, by the way, by divine decree. But anyway, another day. When Israel was given that land, they were told to remember that they were once strangers in another land and that they should treat strangers with charity. And in fact, they were instructed that their strangers were to be treated with equality before their laws. This doesn't mean they were made Israelites. It didn't mean they were to be treated with respect and care as they were themselves once strangers in another land. Now hold on. Most liberals have difficulty with our demands that these laws be enforced precisely because they don't feel comfortable rounding up moms and dads and even kids and throwing them back into the sewer of the countries, many of them, from which they fled to find a better life here. Unless it's liberals like Janet Reno, and the country is a communist Cuba, and the kid is Elias Gonzalez. I know the hypocrisy is nauseating. I know, but those aren't the people I'm talking about, or to. I'm trying to talk seriously to the average American liberal who just doesn't have the stomach for the simple solution of rounding up all the 12 million illegals and kicking them back over the border. Hopefully, I have the attention of at least some of these liberals who listen to the Brain Massage Show. Bible Thump Alert. Bible Thump Alert. Quote, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry, end quote. That's Proverbs 6:30. Think about that. Now, I live, friend, I get that. I accept undeniable truths numbers 2 and 3. But will you accept undeniable truth number 1? Will you admit that something has got to be done about this, that it is a problem and it needs to be addressed? Because the proverb I just read is followed by another important principle. The next verse says, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. End quote. In other words, the law has got to be enforced. We understand why they would come over here and why they would break the law, but the law must be enforced and respected. There needs to be provided to them another way to do it legally. You know, under Moses' law, by the way, the penalty was in some cases double, in other cases five. That's for theft. Fivefold, sometimes fourfold, depending on the circumstances and what it was that was stolen. In the case of kidnapping, by the way, or men stealing and selling them as slaves, that penalty was death, by the way. Old Testament, yeah, Exodus 21:16, Deuteronomy 24:7, death for men stealing. Solomon set the penalty of stealing bread to sevenfold. In Jesus' day, the penalty for defrauding anyone apparently was fourfold. But anyway, all of that is to say this. Liberal, you've got to appreciate the undeniable fact that if we don't enforce our laws are meaningless, and the protection the law was intended to provide is effectively removed, so that today we have a virtual invasion taking place that is going to prove our ruin if we don't address it. Likewise, conservative friend, you've got to admit that it really is not in your heart to arbitrarily rip these families to pieces, a la Elias Gonzalez, multiplied by 1 million or 12 million. You know, huh? Can we have a conversation about this and come up with a viable solution? I'm going to discuss this some more next week. I'm sure I've raised some questions. I'm the one going to get some good calls, no doubt. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know if you see that they are on. You say lights on if you see the lights are on, and you'll ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying, or at least you appreciate the Brain Massage Show, and you're going to spread the news to others to tune in. If you feel like you want to send me a message, thumbs down, you don't agree with me, then you can call me and say lights off and then hang up. And however strongly you disagree with me is fine. I mean, you can leave your message lights on or lights off. And I wonder what it will be today, lights on or lights off. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. If you're using a cell phone, you don't need the number 1. But 888-770-8000, leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental U.S. Toll-free 1-888-770-8000. And I've been getting more and more emails lately. I appreciate that. And I try to get back to all of them as quickly as I possibly can. Do be patient with me. Sometimes I travel, I get a little under it. You know, with so much going on. But I will get back to you, I promise. So email me, go to thebrainmassageshow.com. By the way, it's a good place to go to get other brain massages. But thebrainmassageshow.com, it's all one word, lowercase, you know the drill, thebrainmassageshow.com. And you'll find a contact us button, click on that, select lights on or lights off, and send me a message. If you're in a hurry, you can just click lights on and send it. If you want to give me a message, then type as much as you want. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Let me know what you think about these things. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.